From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Is it really Friday already? My goodness, the week has flown by, folks. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, always have been. Well, ladies and gents, we've got a hot show to close out the week for you. We'll talk about the MSU women's basketball team as they fell to rival Michigan last night at the Breslin Center. We'll recap that game. We'll also talk about the University of Michigan men's basketball team as they have one of their more recently ugly losses that they've had in quite some time. Folks, you don't want to miss that discussion as well. We'll also dive into the Josh Gordon situation. We'll be chatting with Dan Kilbridge, sports writer for Michigan State, 247sports.com, about Michigan State football signing day. And also, we will reflect like we do each and every Friday with Reflection Friday. Now, all of that and so much more, but as custom here on Current Sports, let's start the show like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners for this February 6th. All right, folks, let's start with the MSU women's basketball team. They fell to the University of Michigan last night, 72-59, the final of that one. That was the Wolverines' first victory at the Breslin Center in 14 years. Now, Caitlin Flattery, she scored 19 points for the Wolverines, while Ariel Powers scored 25 points for the Spartans, including 19 in the second half. The win improves Michigan's record to 14-8 and 6-5. In the Big Ten Conference. Now, MSU drops to 11-12, below 500, man, and just 3-9 in Big Ten play. Michigan men's basketball team, they lost its fifth home game of the season against Iowa last night, 72-54, and here's a bite from that game.
Gazelle feeds the trailer, Utah for three, off the heel. Rebound, Peter Jock to Gazelle, pull up Jay, 16, good.
All right, that fifth home loss is one more, for the Wolverines than they have lost in the last three seasons combined. Can you believe that? Now, the Wolverines dropped to 13-10 overall and 6-5 in Big Ten play. Michigan's next outing is Sunday on the road against Indiana. Lansing United will compete in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup during the 2015 season. Now, the Open Cup is an annual competition for all amateur and professional teams associated with U.S. soccer. Now, United qualified for the Cup after winning the NPSL's Great Lakes Western Conference Championship last season. United's first game will be held on May 13th, and their opponent will be determined April 8th when the tournament draw takes place. All right, Bloomfield Hills High School boys basketball coach Dwayne Graves is completely insane in the membrane. He has resigned after slapping a player at a practice. Now, Graves led the team to a state title game appearance last year in their inaugural season after the school district consolidated Lasher and Andover into the same high school. Now, freshman coach Nick Straighton will take over as coach for the rest of the year. And the Detroit Red Wings, they beat the Colorado Avalanche in Colorado last night, 3-0.
Zetterberg, Abdelkader up front, save for Luma, scores on the rebound! Abdelkader stayed with it and buried it! A power play goal, it's 1-0!
Yeah, Peter Mrazek made 28 saves for his third shutout of his career. The win pushed the Wings past Montreal into second place in the Atlantic Division. Now, Detroit is 2 points behind first place Tampa Bay and will be back in action tomorrow night against the Phoenix Coyotes at 8 p.m. The Detroit Pistons, they play host to the Denver Nuggets tonight at 7:30 p.m. The struggling Nuggets enter play on a four-game losing streak and have lost 11 of its past 12 games, including three straight in a row. Now, the Pistons are coming off a loss to the Indiana Pacers, but sit just 2.5 games out of the playoff picture. Now, the game will be televised on FSN Detroit. And my man Tiger Woods, boy oh boy, this year can't get any worse for him. Tiger Woods withdrew from the Farmers Insurance Open Thursday after suffering a back injury. He was noticeably limping throughout that round. He played 11 holes and was sitting at a 2-over on the day before withdrawing on the 12th hole. Now, this is the third time in the past 9 tourneys that Woods has withdrawn from play. And big news coming out of ESPN. College Game Day will have a new face next year as Reese Davis will be taking over the hosting duties from Chris Fowler. Now, Fowler had hosted Game Day dating all the way back to the year I was born in 1990, but he is looking to shift his focus to play-by-play now, and Davis is currently the host of ESPN's College Game Day show, a show that he will continue to host as well. So Davis will be one busy man. So, hey, we'll be seeing Chris Fowler rock the mic and doing some play-by-play. He's great at that as well. All right. Well, those are your current sports quick headliners, folks. If you want to chime in right now, pick up that phone, dial 517-355-9527. Again, that number to call is 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I will read it live here on Current Sports, and I will do the same with your tweets. Just tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Well, let's start the show. All right, folks, happy Friday. Yes, you have made it to the end of the work week. The grind is coming to an end, so to speak, and you'll have 2 days to rest. So we are so glad and honored anytime you tune in to Current Sports on any weekday afternoon, folks, and today is, of course, no exception. Welcome to the show, as always. I am your host, Al Martin. Folks, we've got a hot show, a hot Friday show to close out the week for you. And of course, this week has been bogged down with a ton of recruiting talk, seeing as though Wednesday was National Signing Day, where high school athletes across this entire great nation signed their national letters of intent and stated where they will be taking their athletic talents at the collegiate level. I tell you what, Mark D'Antonio's list of recruits is certainly impressive. He has cracked the top 25 recruiting list in just about every form you read about. Pretty unbelievable stuff. And we will dive into it and close out the recruiting week that was with Dan Kilbridge of Michigan State 247sports.com. Dan covers all things recruiting. He is a recruiting expert, folks. He's going to kind of go through the list of recruits for the MSU football team and possibly throw out a few names who can make an immediate impact with the MSU football team next year. So you don't want to miss that chat. He'll also give his generic thoughts on the upcoming year for Michigan State football. Talk a little Shalique Calhoun. Was him coming back the right decision for him? We'll chat about all of that and so much more. So you don't want to miss that. That'll be coming up in just a sec. We'll also reflect on Reflection Friday. That's right. Each and every Friday, folks, we like to take a look at the week that was in sports, folks, and list some of our favorite stories, moments here on Current Sports, and maybe some stories or moments that we didn't get to discuss here on the show. That becomes our forum to do that. So we'll have Reflection Friday as well. And also, we'll give you a preview of the Michigan State and Illinois men's basketball game that will be taking place tomorrow afternoon. Current Sports will be in the house. Alex and I will be covering that game. So we'll have full-blown coverage of that game on WKAR.org tomorrow. So after that game, after the dust settles on that game, you can go to WKAR.org and catch my report on that, folks. Hot show, but you know, I want to start the show by talking about that very subject that we've been talking about throughout this entire week, that being recruiting, folks. Now, as you know, and I've been no stranger in stating that, I am not a big fan of recruiting. Of course, it certainly sets the foundation of success for multiple college programs throughout the entire nation, because ideally getting the best talent is what drives your program in any sport, period. But sometimes I just think, you know, when you're dealing with 17-year-old kids, and, you know, even talking with a lot of coaches from around this area at the collegiate level at Michigan State, I mean, they start recruiting so young now, even at the middle school level, folks. I mean, it's unbelievable how younger and younger, you know, just evaluating kids at various age levels are becoming every single year. It's really crazy. But, you know, I tell you what, one of the reasons why I don't like recruiting is because there are a lot of politics involved with it. And I want to start the show by bringing up a story that I had no idea took place until one of our outstanding students who work with us on Current Sports, Chris Haller, brought it to my attention about an hour before showtime today. And that has to do with a story concerning a certain running back a certain Ohio State commit now. Really, this story, it really exemplifies and embodies everything that's wrong with recruiting in many layers. And if you guys haven't heard, just to sort of recap this story here, crazy story, follow with me here, bear with me here, folks. Now, again, this story is very intriguing. Ohio State made an intense pitch to retain Cass Tech tailback Mike Weber in his class on Wednesday. As Michigan made a final push to try and swoo and Wayne Weber to come to their school, as well as Ohio State, he eventually ended up signing his national letter of intent with the Ohio State Buckeyes. But then yesterday, get this, the Chicago Tribune reported that Ohio State's running back coach, Stan Drayton, was leaving for a position with the Chicago Bears. Now, what makes that connection so interesting is because, of course, Stan Drayton was the running back coach with Ohio State and was one of the main recruiting personnel that tried to wound and sway Weber. So now he leaves. Now, naturally, you know, if you have a coach at a university, if you got the main guy who is recruiting you, you would think that that individual will be there to start the next season and to aid in your process as you commit to that school. But no, that was not the case here. Again, as the Chicago Tribune reported that Stan Drayton signed with the Chicago Bears. Now that Weber's name is on a signed letter of intent, he is now bound, folks. There's no way to get out of this. He is bound to Ohio State for at least a year, unless the school willingly releases him. So that's really the only clause here where he can get out of the situation. Because if he does stay with Ohio State for a year, you guys know that if he decides to transfer next year, he has to at least sit out one full year before he'll be eligible to hit the gridiron. Now, Weber was not a happy man. He was not a happy kid, folks. He shared his frustration on Twitter after hearing the news, saying that he was, quote, hurt as hell. It's actually on his Twitter right now at 5:50 p.m. yesterday. That is actually on Mike's Twitter account. Now, Weber gave no indication about whether or not it would have changed his decision, rather knowing in advance that of course, you know, Stan Drayton, if he knew that Stan Drayton was going to leave for Chicago, whether or not he would have signed with Michigan instead of Ohio State. But I think this tweet pretty much says it all. And again, on the National Letter of Intent website, it describes the agreement as, quote, and this is a direct quote from that website, when you sign a NLI, National Letter of Intent, you agree to attend the institution listed on the NLI for one academic year in exchange for that institution awarding athletics financial aid for one academic year. So as for an NLI is binding if a coach leaves the institution, the website says this, quote, yes. The NLI you signed with the institution remains binding if the coach who recruited you leaves the institution which you signed. When you sign an NLI, you sign with an institution and not with a coach or a specific team. So basically, when you sign an NLI, you are bound no matter what circumstances ensue after that pen touches the paper. So, man, and you know, I would be, for a minute, try and walk in Mike's shoes. Walk in this young kid's shoes. I mean, you got this recruit. You got a coach, you know, watching you play. He's trying to wound you to go to that school. You know, seems like a great guy. And then all of a sudden you're like, okay, you know, this seems like the right fit. All right, here's signing day. You know, you sit down, the NLI is right in front of you. You put your, you know, put your pen right in that paper, sign your name, you're feeling good about it. Then, you know, moment, you know, not even like a day after, you hear about the coach who recruited you signing and leaving the team. I mean, oh my gosh, I really feel for him. I really hope that if he is truly unhappy, which it seems like he is, I mean, I'm only looking at his Twitter page here, and he said, quote, I'm hurt as hell. He seems very displeased about it. Again, I really hope there's some situation where the university willingly agrees to release him, because man, this is really ugly. I want to get Alex's thoughts on this because Alex also heard about this story. And of course, you follow the recruiting scene pretty intently here. Alex, what was your reaction upon hearing this story, man?
Yeah. My first reaction was there has to be something more to this. Maybe before the coach left, maybe he mentioned something. Maybe that Mike Weber, when he was choosing his school, you know, I just didn't really, I had a hard time grasping that this was out of ill favor by Urban Meyer and the Ohio State coaching staff, that they really screwed over this kid who's 17 years old. And after talking to some of the students back here, honestly, and until more information comes out, it's hard to find a reason not to pin it against the Ohio State coaching staff. I was just listening to Detroit Sports 105.1 radio down in Detroit, and they had the Cass Tech coach on the broadcast discuss what happened with the Ohio State running back coach leaving and what that did to his former player, Mike Weber, and how he's feeling right now. And what Coach Thomas Wilkers said, Detroit Cass Tech head coach, what he told Detroit Sports 105.1 was that Ohio State has a lot of work to do, and he is mad about the protocol, and that he thinks there should have been more respect between the Ohio State coaching staff and the program. And he said, word for word, you know, for them to come up north into my school and show the disrespect and not go the proper protocol, that, you know, that's going to be tough to forgive. And right now, I mean, this could open up the floodgates to a lot of different things. This could open up to amendments to the signing day constitution or the protocol that goes on with signing day. Maybe if the coach that recruits you leaves, you have the option for a certain day period to rethink that commitment. But the fact that you leave the day after National Signing Day, not even to bother letting the kid know that you're considering leaving, but to leave the day after he's inks and stone his life for the next year to Ohio State, that for me is a little bit fishy. Those are my preliminary thoughts.
As my homeboys back in the D would say, yo, that was shiesty. Point blank period. I mean, again, this situation, you're dealing with a young kid here. And again, the fact that, again, you bring up the fact that it was a day after National Signing Day. It basically paints Ohio State's coaching staff, including Stan Drayton, as guys who are just trying to get their commits and really don't care about the overall well-being and emotions of their recruits. Because if you did, again, there would have been an open floodgate of better communication. Stan Drayton doesn't up and just sign with the Chicago Bears out of nowhere. He knew that this was on his mind while recruiting this young kid that, hey, okay, I definitely want to get him because he's a great player. He'll be a big grab, a great addition to the Ohio State Buckeyes. But in the back of his head, I'm pretty sure he was thinking about the possible job waiting for him in the pros.
And look, Mike Weber said that he's hurt about him leaving, and I don't blame him. Any recruit that loses their primary coach or the guy that recruited them,
certainly,
he's going to be upset.
And deservingly so.
But here's what head coach Thomas Wilkers said. He said, quote, Mike just wished he would have known.
Right, exactly. That comes down to the communication.
So obviously, Regardless that he's leaving, because I can understand if you get the opportunity to go to the NFL.
I don't blame Stan for leaving. Exactly.
Right.
But the fact that you have this young man who is this, you're talking about his future that you're talking about right now, and you're wooing and suing him to try and come to your school knowing that there's a possibility that you may not be there. Why don't you let him know that? You know what I mean? And the reason why he didn't let him know that is because once he said that, I'm pretty sure he would have probably went somewhere else.
And
he
look,
probably went to Michigan.
Ohio State's been able to come into Cass Tech the last 2 years and take the top player from Cass Tech. I wouldn't go as far to say that Mike is the best player in the state, but they took the best player probably in the Detroit area for the last two years.
He's definitely a great player.
For the last 2 years.
And he would be a great addition to that staff. So
exactly.
Again, this is why.
Look, Al, here's the more important thing. You don't want to ruin that relationship. And the fact that this has never happened. Michigan, when Lloyd Carr was coaching, they never lost a player from Cass Tech to Ohio State. Never. And every year, Bama, Ohio State, LSU, they'd come in every year and try to tug at these kids from Michigan, which is a Castech feeder school, and try to get them to come, you know, to Ohio State. And every year, it wasn't working. But the downfall of the program, Ohio State,
Ohio State just won a national championship.
That
you know,
worked.
So.
And here's what you want to do. You don't want to spoil that relationship. And right now, it's spoiled. Even Darian Harris back here said, you can say goodbye to any kid going to Ohio State from Castech after this little ordeal.
No, I agree.
If I'm Urban Meyer, but here's the thing. If I'm Urban Meyer, I let Mike Weber go. I give him a release from the program. Try whatever you can do to get rid of that national letter of intent so it looks like, you know, he cares for the kid's future. If he really screwed this kid's over, he actually cares. If you're not going to let this kid get released and just keep him to steal him from a Michigan program, that will put Ohio State in a bad spot.
I don't think.
You don't think that's what Urban Meyer should do?
I don't think that's what they're going to do. No. I don't think that Ohio State is going to do that.
I
think they will release him. I think Urban Meyer and his coaching staff, they realize this is real sticky, and it looks bad nationally.
Oh, so you do think that they will?
I do think Ohio State is going to release. That's the right thing to do here.
I don't think they will release him. I think they will.
I think they will. Why? Because, again, this has gotten so sticky, and this story is so ugly, that there's going to be pressure from media, from just everyone alike, and that pressure is going to force them, it's going to force that pipe to bust eventually. And again, if Mike is truly not happy, and again, just the only indication that we have that Mike isn't happy with this decision is his Twitter page. He's hurt from this. That's what he said on Twitter. He's not happy with the way this went down. If a 17-year-old kid is not happy and he's just coming out of high school, do him the service of letting him make his own decision now. Let the binding contract go, release him, and let him make his own decision. What do you think is going to happen, folks? 517-355-9527. What are your thoughts on this story? What are your thoughts on recruiting? This is why I hate recruiting. 517-355-9527. All right, let's shift gears really quickly here, Alex, while we're taking calls as the callers chime in. I want to briefly talk about basketball. Let's talk some college basketball really briefly here. I want to start with the Michigan men's basketball team. Of course, they had a up and down outing. Yesterday they have had a certainly rocky year. They fell yesterday at home 72-54, folks. One of its worst home losses dating all the way back since 2010. It actually is their worst home loss since 2010. And you know, watching this program, I think it's safe to say that we can put this team on the bubble now. I mean, John Beilein is trying everything he can, and I actually caught a lot of this game last night. I actually turned it off when it started to really get out of reach. I mean, they did what they could. Spike Albert tried to come in and give him some solid minutes. Zach Irvin, you know, he tried to come in and give him some solid minutes. But it's like when Iowa started to enact that full court press, and then they went into zone defense, Michigan sort of just kind of crumpled. But I think you can put them on the bubble now, because if you look at the standings right now, even though I will say in the Big Ten conference has not been great this year, folks. In a conference that probably you can argue for the past 10 years has been the best conference in college basketball, I think it's safe to say this may be a down year for them. Right now, you got top dog Wisconsin sitting at the top of the conference at 8-1. Maryland is 7-3. Purdue 7-3. You got Michigan State then sitting in third place at 6-3. Then Ohio State, Indiana, they are in the fourth spot at 6-4. So it's kind of jumbled up. I will say it is very, very jumbled up. Right now in conference play, Michigan is 6-5, 13-10 overall for the year. So right now you got a lot of teams. So ideally, Michigan right now is in the middle of the pack in the Big Ten standing. So let's say Michigan goes on a roll, which I don't think. That would be wishful thinking, folks, if Michigan goes on a roll and starts rattling off a few wins here left and right. But again, when they don't have their big guys, big superstar names, when Caris LeVert and Derek Walton Jr., Derek Walton being that point guard that can facilitate to that talent, which they do have on that Michigan basketball team, when he's out, and then, of course, when you got a scoring juggernaut out in Caris LeVert, it's just hard to compete, folks. So, again, great coach in John Beilein. I just don't think that Michigan is going to make the tourney this year. When looking and really looking at that team yesterday and seeing the struggles that they've had throughout this year, I just really don't think they can, folks. And Iowa, I mean, Iowa was great yesterday. It was kind of a crazy game for them because I haven't seen them shoot that well. At one point in the game, folks, they were shooting 72% from the field. I mean, sizzling hot, folks. And a lot of it also has to do with that Michigan has no size down inside, so Aaron White was able to just have a field day down low. But again, worst home loss since 2010. No Aubrey Dawkins in the second half. He did not score at all in the second half, folks, after posting, I think, double-digit numbers in the first half. But just a really, just big lack of bodies for them. Moving on now to, of course, the MSU women's basketball team. Man, oh, man. They have, you talk about injuries and health. Health is so important at any level of sport, folks. And when you start to look at programs like the Michigan Men's Hoop Squad, like Susie Merchant and Company, when you have key injuries to key players and a lack of bodies, boy, oh boy, you better hold on tight because it is going to be one roller coaster ride of a year. Now, the MSU women's basketball team, they fell to U of M last night, 72-59. It was the Wolverines' first victory at the Breslin Center, and get this, 14 years. Can you believe that? 14 years, folks. Caitlin Flattery, she was great. She had 19 points for the Wolverines. Ariel Powers, I tell you what, you can pretty much guarantee one thing that when you look at Michigan State's women's basketball team, you better believe that Ariel Powers is going to bring it. 25 points for her, 19 in the second half alone. So, you know, looking at that game, and Alex, you actually watched that game as well yesterday. Again, it's tough when you don't have the bodies, when you don't have the numbers to compete. And, you know, all it takes is a few fouls, a few players to get in foul trouble. Then you have to really dig down on that bench. I mean, that blinking yellow light is on before tip-off even happens. For looking at last night, you know, I think is one of the best players in the Big Ten Conference, Saisha Gori, 17 points, 11 rebounds for her. She actually drew two fouls on Becca Mills at the beginning of the game. And then on replacement, Kennedy Johnson. So then you got to dig into your bench even more, and Kelsey Kuypers had to come in. Kelsey Kuypers, of course, who is a member of the MSU women's volleyball team. Yes, they have acquired her just to add an extra body. So just think, if they didn't have Kelsey Kuypers, what in the world would have Susie done last night? So it's really tough. Alex, what were your thoughts about last night?
My thought is that they have been in the game. I mean, from Notre Dame to Syracuse, they've been in a lot of games. And this one they were too, believe it or not. They came down the stretch. They had a nice run. They cut it within six. Kennedy Johnson, you know, Jankowska missed some crucial shots down the stretch. Some free throws missed. Becca Mills fighting hard on the boards, couldn't get the tip in. So they're in the games. They just couldn't get the shots they needed down the stretch. And they were just overpowered offensively by Michigan throughout the night. I think that if they really hit their key shots, they could do it. It's just a matter of time. It's a matter of the night. It's just those inches. It's finding those inches, I think, for women's basketball, Al.
I think we're reaching now, man. When you look at the standings right now, Michigan State sits in 13th place out of 14 teams in the Big Ten Conference. They are 11-12 in the Big Ten, just ahead of that's their overall record. 11-12 is their overall record. They're 3-9 in the Big Ten, only ahead of lowly Penn State at 2-10. So right now, it's tough. It's tough watching this team because you know they have a lot of potential if they were 100% healthy. And again, you know, you got to give credit to U of M's defense because they actually held, you know, the two juggernauts offensively for Susie Merchant and company, Tori Jankowska and Ariel Powers. They kind of kept them in check relatively well because if you look at it, Jankowska was actually held scoreless for 30 minutes and just finished with 6 points. 6 points for Tori Jankowska. I never read that. I mean, that's unbelievable. And then Powers, even though Ariel Powers finished with another double-double, she had 25 points, solid game for her. But if you look at it, Powers attempted just 4 shots in the first half. Just 4 shots, folks. She scored 19 of those 25 in the second half. So, you know, yesterday on Current Sports TV, and again, if you miss Current Sports TV, that's actually, you can catch that on video.wkr.org right now. I got a chance to sit and chat with assistant coach Amaka Ogugwa and also the director of operations and technology for the MSU women's basketball team, David Thomas. Of course, David Thomas, I mean, his history also goes back with MSU, seeing as though he won a national championship with that 2000 men's basketball team for Sparty. But, you know, I chatted with them because they both have a firsthand account on what's going down with this team. They're there in practice, and they know the personnel one-on-one very, very, very well. And I was talking to him about, you know, just the talent on this team and the what-if factor. What if this team was 100% healthy? And looking at, you know, the numbers that Tori Jankowska and Ariel Powers are able to produce on any given night, the key factor that this team is missing and the key puzzle piece that they agreed is missing is having that point guard, folks. When you got a lot of offensive talent, you got to have somebody to facilitate to that talent. And right now, Torrey Jankowski and Ariel Powers, two players who are bona fide scorers, are trying to take on dual roles, be that facilitator while also trying to, you know, light it up in the scoring chart, which they have to do because who else is going to do it? It's tough when you have players forced into roles that they are not suitable and comfortable with normally. So right now, I don't know, you know, put them on the bubble as well, man. Right now, it's just really tough. And, you know, you can only imagine how Susie is holding up. So, all right, folks, again, we are taking your calls, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Don't touch that dial because when you come back, you won't just hear my voice, you'll also hear the voice of Dan Kilbridge, folks. He is a sports writer from Michigan State, 247sports.com, does one great job covering the recruiting scene and so much more. Dan will join me in just a sec. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy Friday, ladies and gents. Also, got to remind you all, as I did before the break, that, hey, if you missed Current Sports TV last night, you missed a good one. But, hey, don't fret. You can catch that episode right now online at video.wkar.org. I got a chance to sit down with the director of operations and technology for the MSU women's basketball team, David Thomas, and also assistant coach of the MSU women's basketball team, Amaka Ogugwa. If you missed that episode, it was a fantastic one. Just simply go to video.wkar.org to sign up online and check that one out. And also, next week, folks, I'm pretty excited about this one as well. I will be hitting the boxing ring and going one-on-one in a sparring session with a 10-year-old. Yeah, he's pretty good. I'm not going to go in there like Floyd Mayweather, okay? But he's an unbelievable young prodigy who is actually the 2015 Michigan Silver Glove Champion. He's a phenom, folks. His name is Keon Gee. His trainer also, Ali Easley, over at Crown Boxing out in Lansing, will join me on the episode. But we've got an intriguing feature. I'll be hitting the ring with Keon on Monday. Please pray for me, okay? Not him. He's the phenom. He's a silver gold glove champion, all right? But that feature should be fantastic. I'm really looking forward to sitting down with our youngest guest ever on Current Sports TV. So that should be a fun one. All right, folks. Well, you know that all week, each and every day this week, we have been diving into the world of recruiting. Seeing as though signing day, National Signing Day, was on Wednesday. Now, I want to talk about the Michigan State recruiting class of this year, which is a top 25 class, folks. Michigan State head coach Mark D'Antonio actually introduced the Spartans 2015 recruiting class on Wednesday afternoon at a press conference inside the Izzo Family Media Center at Spartan Stadium. Now, the class features 22 players representing 10 states. Get this: Arizona, California, Florida, Illinois, Kentucky, of course, Michigan, Ohio, Texas, Utah, and Virginia. Folks, that is called covering all of your bases, all right? And a man to cover all of the bases of exactly who is a part of this class is a man who knows his stuff. Dan Kilbridge, sports writer for Michigan State, 247sports.com. Dan, my man, thanks a lot for joining me today.
Al, thanks for having me, man. Let's do it.
All right. Well, first, Dan, I got to ask you, my man, when looking at this class, a very impressive class, top 25 class nationally, for you, were there any surprises that you didn't see coming from those that committed to become Spartans next year?
Not really, and I think that's what made this such a great day for D'Antonio and the team. There really weren't any surprises. Everyone kind of knew what to expect. They ended up getting two more commits the day of in Cassius Pete and Mufi Hunt. D'Antonio said he had known about Pete for a while, but Mufi made up his mind that morning, so I guess that would be considered a pleasant surprise. But really, kind of Michigan State went about its business, and everyone got their letters faxed in early. There was no drama. It was just like walk in the park. So, no, I think everything went about as smoothly as it could have on signing day for MSU.
I tell you what, D'Antonio looked very relieved. I actually saw a tweet from his daughter, Kristen D'Antonio, the morning of. And, yeah, he was a happy man, a big grin on Mark D'Antonio's face. Now, you know, the question that everyone wants to know, all Spartan football fans wants to know, when looking at this class, a very impressive one to say the least, which players can come in and possibly have an immediate impact on the gridiron for the Spartans, Dan?
Yeah, I think D'Antonio will probably play around, anywhere between 3 and 6 true freshmen. That's kind of his wheelhouse in terms of the redshirt decision. And right now, the guy, I mean, you immediately look at is L.J. Scott. We had him ranked as a 4-star tailback out of Hubbard, Ohio, a kid that Ohio State really wanted, Alabama really wanted, tons of schools. But throughout the entire process, he stayed committed to MSU and wanted to come here, thought it was the best fit. So really, he's going to be a guy who jumps into the mix right away, I think, and competes for the 2-deep. And then elsewhere, I think you're looking for maybe a couple of these defensive backs to come in and add some depth with Trey Waynes and Curtis Drummond leaving for the NFL draft. A guy like maybe Tyson Smith, Khalil Gaines, a defensive back out of Florida. David Dowell is another impressive one. So, any mix of those guys, then there's always a surprise or two where you go, wow, I didn't think that guy was going to play, and he pops out of nowhere. So maybe who knows who that is going to be. But, another typical year in that way, I think.
Now, Dan, I got to ask you, because I've always had this question, and I've really been waiting to ask you this, because when I look at, the world of recruiting, and you talk about the rating system, the star system, the 1 through 4 or 5 star recruiting system that is in place. I mean, because I'm looking here on the list, and there are a lot of 3-star recruits on the list. There's a 4-star scattered around as well. I mean, how big is the disparity from a 3-star recruit to becoming a 4-star recruit? I mean, how big is that gap?
That's a great question, Al. It's not very much. Any little thing could put that over the top. And we see guys kind of move around from 3 and 4 stars. Our 24/7 Sports national staff releases several different versions of the rankings throughout the year as they continue to evaluate. And you'll see guys move either up and down from a 3 to 4 star pretty frequently. So it's really not that big of a gap. And I do think that's kind of where D'Antonio has had the most success. It's with those 3-star, 4-star guys, certainly not at the top of the class, not at the bottom, and they're just solid players. I do think there is sort of this negative stigma around a 3-star. Okay, well, why do we have so many 3-stars in this class? We should be getting all these other guys. But
yeah,
these 3-star players are still very good players. That's a high ranking. A lot of times they'll have scholarship offers from all over the country. So, yeah, it's not very big, and I think that's something that maybe a lot of people don't realize, even high school kids, and I think it would help them to know that, hey, there's nothing wrong with being ranked a 3-star recruit. That still says a lot about you as a player.
So with that being said, Dan, I mean, is the rating system a little bit overrated?
I think we were talking about this yesterday a little bit. I don't think it's completely overrated. I think it goes both ways. There are people who put way too much stock into it. I mean, you see Michigan finish annually with top 10, top 15 classes, and it doesn't translate to wins. So people can put too much into it. But then you have people who say, well, the star system means nothing. Look at Darquez Denard. Look at Kirk Cousins, whoever. But then you look at Alabama's recruiting classes. Those guys are pretty much filled with 4 and 5-star guys, and Alabama seems to do okay every year. Same goes for Ohio State recently. So there's certainly, a value in it. I think it provides a pretty good idea of what a player could be. It's a guessing game in some ways. And I just think you have to take everything with a grain of salt and realize that these are, helpful in terms of evaluating, but they're not the be-all, end-all.
Dan Kilbert, sports writer from Michigan State, 247sports.com. Folks, if you all out there listening have a question for Dan, just call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Actually, Dan, we've got a caller on line one right now. Michael from Saginaw wants to throw one at you. Mike, how you doing? You are on Current Sports.
Thank you very much, Al Martin. I got a good question for you. Do Michigan State ever recruit football players and they enroll in January when the winter semester begins?
Absolutely. That's a great question, and that's something that they do pretty much, you know, one or two guys every year will choose to enroll early. And so they have to be on top of their grades because that means you've got to graduate high school in 3.5 years. But Tyreek Thompson out of Detroit Cass Tech would be an example in this class. He's a linebacker who had, I believe, a 4.3 grade point average in high school, and he enrolled in January. He's going through winter workouts right now. Some past guys who have done that, Max Bulla, Nick Hill, were both early enrollees. And so I think that is definitely, it's not for everyone. You have to be on top of things and able to, you know, sort of grow up a little bit. I think it takes a mature type of kid to do that, but something that Michigan State does every once in a while. And I think it helps those kids to get in early and get a sense for the game and start getting a grasp of the playbook and things like that.
All right, then. Here's one more question for El Martin, and I'm going to move it, let you get to the other car. El Martin, did you, when you watched the Super Bowl, did Michigan State run a similar play in the Cotton Bowl where they scored their last touchdown with the receiver cutting to the goalpost? I'll take it off the air. Thanks, El.
Man, that's like breaking it down on the X's and O's. I am not sure. Mike, that's a very – I have to go back and maybe compare – I have to look back at that play actually in the Cotton Bowl compared to that Super Bowl play, but it was similar in a way. I think what Mike is referring to, I'm guessing, is the interception play that Russell Wilson threw with the pick set in the end zone. I don't know. I don't know if Dan, I don't know if you can answer that one. I have no idea.
It was a little, bit different because they were on, I think they're on like the 10 or 11 or something.
Right.
With less than 10 seconds left in the game. And they went with, a sort of a skinny post, it looked like, to Mumphrey on that one.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, similar to passing situation, but yeah, not quite as dangerous from the 10 as opposed to the 1.
Now, you know, Dan, going back to recruiting now, I want to ask you about Brian Lewerke, because he is a name that has been thrown around a lot. He's a 4-star quarterback from Arizona. Reviews are pretty high on him, and D'Antonio actually compared him to Kirk Cousins. I mean, what are the reviews on him, and what makes Brian a really interesting prospect?
Couple things. I think, one, you're looking at a great character kid, another high G. And he was actually on Super Bowl Media Day. He did a thing where he went and interviewed the Super Bowl players for ESPNU. So, a talented kid in that way.
Oh, wow.
And talented on the field also. He's got pretty good speed. He's not, I wouldn't call him a burner, but he can pick up first downs and move around a little bit. He's got a big arm, and I think Michigan State's very excited about what he can do. A lot of schools wanted him. And he came here this summer and camped and impressed me when he was here. So really, has the look of another really good one down the road for MSU.
Now with D'Antonio in this class, Dan, of course, cracking the top 25 in the nation with this class. I mean, what does that say about how this program is viewed on a national level? And in my intro also, I mean, representing 10 states, I mean, it seems as though each and every year the brand that is MSU football is expanding and drawing the attention from various amounts of different players from everywhere.
Yeah, no doubt. That's what sticks out to me the most in this class. You see three guys from the state of Texas. D'Antonio's never had that before. Arizona and Lewerke, I don't think they've had that before. You're going all over the place. Virginia, Kentucky, Utah even. And so really what that says to me is that, like you said, the brand is growing because for a long time, Michigan State sort of buttered their bread in state. Yeah. They went after those kids aggressively, and they got a lot of the top kids, Will Golston, Max Bulla, Chris Norman, Edwin Baker, those types of players, when the state of Michigan was really good. I think now this class isn't ranked much higher than some of those earlier classes, but because the talent level maybe wasn't where it has been in recent years in the state of Michigan, the Spartans expanded a little bit and still, you know, paid a lot of attention in state, but now they have the ability to go out and get kids from all over the place because of those BCS bowl game wins and because Michigan State has kind of grabbed everyone's attention with what they've been able to do in terms of winning the last couple of years.
And on that same token, Dan, I mean, how big of a game changer has recruiting coordinator Curtis Blackwell become?
Yeah, he's been big. And, you know, you talk to the guy, you can tell why he'd be so good at his job. He's very personable, very enthusiastic and passionate about what he does. I think the kids respond to that. They see that, and he'd already built a lot of relationships with some of these kids running the Sound Mind, Sound Bodies Football Academy before he got to Michigan State, which is a great program. You know, very low cost. It might even be free to camp there.
Mm-hmm.
They get, you know, 600, 800 kids at camp. It's a really cool thing. And, you know, he builds those relationships, and to have a guy who can focus solely on those things, figure out big events where they have kids from all over the state come in, and coming in early, too, when they're freshmen in high school. I think that always helps, and he's definitely done a great job with it.
Yeah, that camp is certainly a big draw each and every year. We've got another caller for you, Dan, online, too. It's Todd from Lake Orion. Todd, you are on Current Sports. Welcome.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Not a huge recruiting follower, and sometimes I'm critical of it and what it means, but I have a question for the gentleman, sir. You know, obviously Michigan State have put some quarterbacks in the NFL the last couple of years. Obviously, tremendous success with running backs and other position groups, and that is truly reflected in recruiting. But I guess as someone who follows it a little bit, the one area where it doesn't seem like they really are getting players that are of high ranking initially recruiting, but turning them out, obviously, a tremendous exception being Jack Conklin. But really, if you do look at the recruiting and the stars and the numbers, and it's a testament to the staff and being able to get kids and get physical maturity and put strength on them, is the offensive line. I mean, again, you know, tremendous, you know, defensive backs, first-round picks, you know, D-linemen coming in that are highly ranked as stars and players that everybody wants. But, and again, I care much more on wins and losses on the field and what is calculated on the scoreboard than I do in the middle of February or whenever. But if there does seem to be one area where they, again, are getting results on the field, what matters most, but don't seem to be getting high-level recruits, it seems to be the offensive line. Do you think that's accurate? And is that something that they know and are trying to address? I guess I just like to think if I'm the only one, if I'm the only genie in that bottle, if I'm looking at things correctly. I'll listen to your answer off there. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Todd. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I guess I would say that they have had a lot of highly ranked guys in the past who didn't pan out, whether it be due to injury. I mean, Skylar Berkland was one of the top players in Iowa, star recruit, who you know, ended up taking a medical DQ due to some injuries. Benny McGowan would be another highly ranked kid who hasn't seen the field much yet. And now you look at the class, Keonta Stallworth is actually a four-star prospect who's going to play offensive line. So they have had those guys, but I do agree that a lot of the guys we've seen step up in an offensive line role have been lesser, you know, known recruits, per se. I guess when you look at, you know, maybe a Blake Treadwell, he was a defensive lineman, so not like he was an all-star offensive line recruit. But I would say, you know, for the most part, I do think that they've had some highly ranked guys that just haven't worked out. And listen, with what they've got now, I mean, I thought this was the best offensive line of D'Antonio's tenure in 2014 and could be even better in 2015. So I guess maybe we're just not giving the offensive linemen enough publicity out of high school, so maybe we should work on that for next year.
Hey, there we go. Dan Kilbridge, sports writer for Michigan State, 247sports.com. Now, Dan, before I get you out of here, I want to bring up a story that we talked about at the very top of the hour. Now, I'm not sure if you've been following it, but Mike Weber out of Cass Tech. Have you heard about that story at all?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mike Weber, of course, signing with the Buckeyes and then running backs coach for Ohio State. Now, former running backs coach for Ohio State, Stan Drayton, deciding to leave for a position with the Chicago Bears. Mike seemed very hurt about it, about the news, you know, tweeting out, quote, "I'm hurt as hell. I ain't gonna lie," end quote. I want to get your thoughts because recruiting can get ugly. When you heard about this story, I mean, how shocking was it for you?
Sadly, it's not shocking. You actually see this type of thing kind of, you know, through every year it seems like there's a position coach or a handful of guys who leave after signing day.
and I'm going to be careful here because I could go on a rant forever, but this to me is shameful. It's deceitful, and it's indicative of the entire process and the way some people go about their business. I mean, if you're going to talk to a kid for a year and that kid is committed to you, now obviously you don't want to go to a school solely because of one position coach. Well, let's face it, that plays a big factor. You're going to be in the meeting rooms with that guy, and all of a sudden, I find it hard to believe that this guy has no clue about this Bears job until the day after National Signing Day. Oh, something came up. I got to go.
Right.
The whole thing just, to me, I don't see, you know, Mike Weber got some criticism yesterday morning. His press conference went a little long. There's some talk he might go back to Michigan. So people are saying, ah, come on, you know, Mike Weber's being dramatic or whatever. No, this is, we can't criticize these kids when they have to deal with things like that and seeing their position coach that they committed to leave the day after. I think it's horrible, and this is a perfect example of the hypocrisy kind of throughout the whole process.
Very well said. Dan Kilbert, sports writer for Michigan State, 247sports.com. Dan, how can people follow your work, my man?
Can find my work at michiganstate.247sports.com. Right now we're doing a buy 1 month for the price of three deals, so that is good. And then I am on Twitter at MSU Dan K.
He does one fantastic job, ladies and gents. Dan, I'll see you soon. Thanks a lot for joining me today.
Yeah, be careful in the ring, man. I don't want to see you busted up the next time we run into each other.
Yeah, we don't want any broken noses, right? We can't have that, man. I got to look pretty on TV.
There you go.
There we go. Dan Kilbert's the one and only. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Yep, thanks, Al.
All right, folks, this is our second break. When we come back, it's Friday, so you know what we do each and every Friday, right? We reflect. That's right. Let's reflect on the week that was in sports. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Well, just 7 minutes left, folks. If you want to chime in really briefly here on Current Sports, our phone lines are still open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We do have a caller waiting. I want to start Reflection Friday before we get to that caller, and I'll have him chime in on Reflection Friday. So here we go. Let's reflect on the week that was right here on Current Sports. It's Reflection Friday, folks. All right, folks, it's Reflection Friday here on Current Sports, where we take a look at the sporting week and give you our favorite moments here on the show, favorite discussions here on the show, and maybe even stories that we didn't get a chance to get to. You know, Alex, all week we've been talking about signing day. Signing day has been the talk of the town, seeing as though signing day was on Wednesday. You know, first off, you guys know I'm not a big fan of recruiting, but I do want to shout out one recruit in particular, a young man who I've had the opportunity to cover throughout most of his high school career, and that being Kari Willis. Kari Willis is actually one of the Michigan State football recruits who plays basketball and football for Jackson Lumen Christie. It's been a pleasure to cover him, folks, watching him tear it up on the gridiron and do his thing on the hardwood, and I have no doubt that he will do fantastic things for the green and white. And again, such an athlete, such a very humble young man, I would be remiss if I did not shout out local recruit Kari Willis. Also, I'm kind of hurting right now because Tiger Eldrick Woods has pulled out once again, folks. He's going through this whole injury spasm and so on and so forth. You guys know that I am one huge Tiger Woods fan. He's actually my favorite athlete. And seeing him constantly battle with lower back problems and withdrawing from tournaments, I just don't know if Tiger Woods will ever be the Tiger Woods of old. But you better believe I'm still going to watch, all right? So get well, Ty. And also, I got to bring up this story, too. I don't know if you guys saw this, but the union representing NBA referees defended official Lauren Holdcamp today after personal, quote, personal and unprofessional comments, end quote, by Clippers guard Chris Paul. Now, if you didn't watch last night's game, the Clippers lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers to LeBron James and company, and there were actually four technical fouls, I believe, called in the fourth quarter, one of which Chris Paul was called for, where he just kind of looked at the ref and said, huh. And, you know, he had some comments afterwards in which he said, you know, I don't think, you know, this is for her. And the fact that he used the pronoun her got a lot of attention. I think it's totally overblown, and I hope Chris Paul definitely squeaks out of that situation as well. We got a caller also, a caller who has been great throughout this entire week, has been dedicated, a dedicated listener. We appreciate all of you out there for listening. My man Ray, who's actually on line one. How you doing, Ray?
Hey, have a nice weekend, okay?
Oh, you know it, Ray. You know it, my man.
I'm gonna tell you, I found out last night how the blueprint to beat the bullies is.
And what is that, Ray?
All you got to do is stuff the ball inside, 42 to 16 in the paint, and then they made some threes on the outside. They put a good massacre on Michigan, and I hope that's many more to come.
That's the same thing I said last night. Well, not that the, you know, the massacre part, but the fact that Iowa was able to just pound the ball inside and beat Michigan. They have no depth down there. They have no depth down there, Ray. So, yeah.
I can't believe some of the other teams in the Big Ten weren't doing it earlier, but hopefully you guys, when you go up, when Michigan State and Ohio State go up there, they'll do the same thing. And then they got three games coming up at Indiana, at Illinois, and at Maryland. They might lose out.
Yeah, we will certainly see. Ray, you have a good weekend, my man. Thanks a lot. Gotta love Ray. I tell you, he's so dedicated. Alex, you got any stories?
Yeah, we got a caller right now also named Joe. We couldn't get him in just because we're about to close.
Right, but, gotcha. Thanks a lot for calling, though, Joe.
Yeah, I told Joe I read his comment. He said there's no way that Ohio State isn't cheating. He said that there's no way that they can become a dynasty with the likes of Alabama and recruiting against some of these players. He just thinks overall recruiting that there's something fishy going on. And, yeah, you know what? Hey.
That's the game, right? Recruiting sometimes. There's a lot of fishy things that go on any level of sport. This is just one of those stories that is icky and right in your face.
We're not going to go ahead and just, you know, we have to watch ourselves here because what we know is what we know.
Right. But, well, basically, I agree with Dan. I mean, Ohio State was wrong.
Yeah.
And this is certainly wrong. And again, we can only go with what we know. In this story right here, we know that the coaching staff definitely – This was nasty. So, but any moments throughout the week, Alex, you want to bring
up? A lot of
good
ones.
Stories?
I mean, we haven't really touched on it. We might as well real quickly. Josh Gordon, man. For me, it kind of feels like a Titus Young kind of thing where the guy has to have some help at some point. Yeah, I know there's a thing where he had the drink on the plane. It wasn't really planned. You know, he didn't really know that they would be testing him after. I know there's all these little cases and incidents, but if you're doing it more than twice or three times, for me, that's kind of over the top. And just need some help.
He's a repeat offender.
You need help.
Yeah, because it's interesting because, right after the Brown season ended, he was on a flight January 2nd, and he consumed two beers and two drinks. It was the first time he had consumed, so he says, as so much as a drop of alcohol since July 4th of 2014. But, again, if you're a repeat offender, at some point, you gotta wake up. We'll dive into that more in depth on Monday. But again, folks, if you wanted to weigh in and didn't get a chance to due to time constraints, just like our man Joe, go to facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I will read your comment on Monday. Also, even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, and I'll read your tweet on Monday, okay? Hey, folks, have a fantastic weekend. As always, we really appreciate all the love here on the show. I am your host of Current Sports, Al Martin. You've been listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Take care. Have a fantastic weekend and be easy, people.